You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He's Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Thanks for joining us today. We got an Astros game last night. It took longer than expected. A little bit of a delay. Hashtag no roof
Fenway
in Boston.
Park, dude.
Fenway Park. Do your Boston accent.
You've never been to Fenway Park. You just don't get it. You just don't get it. Have you ever had a Fenway Frank?
A former Red Sox fan with us, Paul Gallant.
Have you ever had a Fenway Frank? It's just different. You wash it down with a Budweiser? Oh, dude, you don't get it. You go to Cumberland Farms before the game. You pick up some butts. You got some Marlboro Lights, huh? You go to the game. You drink some butts with your friends. And then you go down to Southie and you bash somebody's head in.
I've always wondered why you don't have an accent.
Because my mom thought it was trashy. I'm not kidding. That was it. Like,
that's
my
awesome.
Mom's from Philadelphia. My mom does not have an accent.
Oh, someone from Philly thought that.
I know, that is kind of funny. The Delco. But she doesn't have it.
Hello.
My mom's family didn't have an accent either. But there are some people in my dad's family who have the accent. I think it is charming, but I know that it can be very annoying to others, and I generally don't speak with it unless I am hanging out with friends, and then I end up talking like my friends. Like, I had a friend from Georgia in high school, and every now and then, or not in high school, in college, and every now and then I would find myself like with a little drawl going on. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know why. I'm very impressionable.
Ben Affleck, no accent, right? Or does he have one and just hide it for movies?
He can put it on, but he does not have one.
He is everything to me. He is so hot.
Ben Affleck.
He's tall.
He has a tramp stamp.
He's dark.
Okay.
Little bit of a bad boy. Makes bad enough choices to where I feel like I could fix him just a little
bit. Anna de Armas was not a bad choice.
But yeah. Anna, yeah, he's a good one. He's
Anna de Armas is on the Mount Rushmore.
Jason Mimosa. But all right, so the Astros falling 6-3 last night to the Red Sox. Jake Odorizzi put on a stretcher and taken off the field. The injury looked very dramatic. Dusty Baker did say Jake Odorizzi was on crutches, but the Astros are calling it lower leg discomfort. There's an MRI today, so we should know more.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, I said this earlier. If I get hurt and I have to be taken off in a stretcher or a wheelchair, I am praying that something bad happened, because otherwise I am going to get roasted after the fact.
Yeah, the Astros aren't doing him any favors calling it lower leg discomfort, which like could be a stub toe. Like, that could be anything, and then he got stretchered off the field. It's like, can you say it's really serious, and then I make a miraculous recovery? Or
it's a good point. Like, make it sound like it's worse than it actually is.
Yeah.
So that then it appears that I, instead of the opposite. Because when I tell you that's the first, I turned on the Astros game after working out and saw him on a stretcher. I was like, what? Did he get, he's the pitcher, but did he somehow get hit with the ball? Like,
because I went away from the game a couple of times because I was moving stuff, and I got an ESPN push notification. Like, Jake Odorizzi carried off on a stretcher, and I was like, oh God, this is going to be the lead story tomorrow. And then I saw afterwards everyone talking about it, and they're like, yeah, it's fine. I was like, damn. Well, it sounded like he got struck by lightning or something like that. Is this why the weather delay is taking place? Someone got vaporized on the field? No, it was.
It all connects.
It was this. And look, I hope he is okay. On a serious note, I am just saying from my own perspective, if I were ever taken off a field on a stretcher, I would really want it to be a serious injury. Because otherwise, you know, I'm speaking as someone who once wanted to keep playing in a flag football with a massive nosebleed, and everyone was like, you need to stop playing. And I was spitting the blood out, like trying to be a total hardo and intimidate my opponents. It was great.
I'm sure.
It was really attractive.
Every athletic story I hear about Paul, Florida high school football product, Paul Gallant, I always am blown away.
I'm a legend, dude.
I can tell.
I am a legend. Yeah, you guys are graced with my presence.
You saw Paul Pierce get carted off in the NBA Finals. You're like, soft.
Yeah.
Walk it off. Well, tie your shoelaces a little tighter. Get back in there.
I mean, he had to take a dump.
He admitted it. We were talking before the show. Lamar Jackson is the one that won't admit it, even though there's security footage of him. We all know the run. I have IBD, so I definitely know the run. When you got to go. That was the run. Lamar Jackson, but he says that was it. He says, no, I didn't have to go to the bathroom. Yes,
I just think people who played football are tougher. And 100% I'm speaking.
Well, yeah, that's why you're at risk for CTE.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I don't remember anything.
Yeah. Dusty Baker said, quote, he's probably doing better than he looked on the mound, but he is in a boot and crutches, so we should know more about Jake Odorizzi. Look, I mean, if he's out for a significant amount of time, I think Lance McCullers Jr., the questions around that pitching and his timetable get amped up even more.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to be too
But you don't want to run.
Reactive,
no, I mean,
right?
It's a dance, right?
I just think now you over this stretch where you're pitching, you're going to be playing a ton of games in over the next 30 days. What? How many days off do you have? Like one, two, something like that. You are now in a spot where you don't have that kind of flexibility, and the bullpen's going to be working a lot more. And we'll see what the bullpen's able to do. I think if we're still looking at where we have the most concerns for this team, it's the entirety of the bullpen. It's not the starting rotation. The starting rotation's, there's no spot where you're like, yikes. It was Odorizzi for his first couple of starts, but
and
since
then he settled in, yeah.
Right, he's been pretty good. So I think this is going to put a lot of work in the bullpen's, on the bullpen's shoulders, and we'll see what they're able to do with it.
Meanwhile, somebody getting a lot of attention on television,
yeah.
An athlete, but not for the way that he is playing. Patrick Beverley was on ESPN once yesterday on their morning show, Get Up, caused such a storm with the comments that he made about Chris Paul that he's since been on, or they've played audio from him on every single show. Oh, and he's back today. What were your thoughts on Patrick Beverley? A lot of people liked it. A lot of people thought he took his comments on CP3 too far.
I'm glad he did. You know, be personal, be petty. And it was personal. It was petty. It was Silky Johnson from the Player Haters Ball. It was beautiful. And look, I love Patrick Beverley. I feel like Patrick Beverley is a more honorable Rocket for what he did during his time with the Rockets than James Harden is, even though Harden won an MVP. I seriously say that. Like, Patrick Beverley is a guy who came from Russia, who fought his way into the starting lineup for this team and was, I thought, a no-nonsense, all-hustle, the kind of guy that I love watching to play basketball. Which is maybe familiar for considering how I was just talking about being a hard-o football guy. Beverly is my kind of basketball player. I like guys who play like that.
Pat Beverly comparing Chris Paul at one point in the segment yesterday to a traffic cone.
True. He's not lying about
that. CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA know that.
Everybody can't guard anybody.
What we call them? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that.
Love it.
Everyone knows it. I mean, do they know it? I don't know. But
I'm telling you right now, though, Patrick Beverley is setting himself up for a hell of a television career because he is not holding back. He is being controversial. But there's a current employee at ESPN, Matt Barnes, who did not like it. This is Matt Barnes on how he felt Patrick Beverley was taking it too far.
What I want to touch on real quick, RJ, is the disrespect I saw from Pat Beverley earlier today. You know, as reporters, you know, as part of the media, we have a job to be critical. But I think there's a thin line between being critical and disrespecting. And I feel like what Pat Beverley did today to Chris Paul was completely disrespectful and out of the line. And Pat Beverley's talking like he's that guy. You're not that guy. Plain and simple. Chris Paul played terrible this year, and his numbers are still better than your career numbers have ever been. So I just think you have to understand, Chris is a 12-time All-Star. That he played terrible. First time, all defense 9 times, 7 times first team all defense. He'll be a Hall of Famer. Pat Bev and I were similar type role players. They don't talk about us when we go. They're going to talk about CP3 when he's done. And I just think the disrespect we saw earlier today on the ESPN show need to be checked because he was way out of pocket.
Okay, well, here's the thing, though. Barnes is listing things that Paul has done. Paul is now 37 years old. Paul is not the same defensive player that he used to be, and he hasn't. I mean, we saw it here in Houston. Was he the same defensive player here in Houston that he had been in years past? Sometimes guys will continuously get on that list entirely based off of, I've said entirely a couple of times, because of their resume. You know, sometimes, I mean, I point to, you know, Bobby Wagner being a first-team All-Pro linebacker last year with the Seahawks. Like, no, he wasn't that at all. But reputation gets you there sometimes. Beverly, when he was talking about Chris Paul on defense, was saying that he's not the same guy, but he did it in an extremely hyperbolistic way. Barnes is taking issue with it and saying it's disrespectful. It's not. I mean, he is making a point, theatrically, of course, saying that he is a cone, but is he the same defensive player that he used to be? No. And I mean, you're not expecting a 37-year-old point guard to be that guy anymore.
Is it something that I think a lot of athletes would do, talking smack about current athletes on air? Probably not. But at the same time, we constantly ask for athletes to be authentic, to be themselves. Yeah. And that is authentic if I've ever seen
it.
Okay, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Do you believe Nick Saban when he says he wants college football to be a little bit more competitive? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
You know, it's kind of like we were talking about in the last segment with Pat Beverly. People may think he's disrespectful, but man, his name is in the news. He's setting him up, set himself up for a pretty good media career, even if people think he's negative. People may think he's a little disrespectful, like Matt Barnes. According to Jerry Jones, it's exactly how it should be. Bad news is good for business. You brought this story up, and I like this. I like this a lot. I think it's the most Jerry Jones story ever. He apparently talked to Peter King in a recent article and talked about how he thinks bad news is good for business.
Yeah, let me tell you a good story. A few years after,
I was hoping we'd get an impersonation.
I bought the team. I don't know if this is good or not. I'm out in Los Angeles having lunch with David Hill, that Gordon Fox. And at that time, there were a lot of negative headlines about the Cowboys. Michael Irvin was in the headlines. People are saying the owner's an outlaw. And so that day, I told him, I'm tightening the lid on this franchise. We're going to get control of this team. And David Hill jumped up. He said, no, no, do not touch my boys. They are television gold. Don't even think about it.
Jones continued,
the foibles, the soap operas, the issues, they create interest. Added the Senior Bowl, the combine, free agency, the draft, training camp. We always got something going. People follow us all year round. The owner every now and then gets in the paper.
Yeah, for like, you know, allegedly being a dad of a rando. And
like 25-year-old girl who you've given a couple milli to over the years.
Yeah, hanging out with some people in the owner's box.
Just that's the interest. All of it. People love that. To meet Jerry Jones.
What do we think?
Slash Eric Cartman.
Yeah. So I was wondering. I
listen,
was like,
I don't know. I got to work on
where
that.
Where am I realizing that I've heard this voice before?
Is he right? I mean, I don't think anyone enjoys the soap opera dynamic of the Houston Texans over the last couple of years. And with the Dallas Cowboys, the soap opera dynamic does have people talking about them nationally, but the people that actually care about the team, that live and die with the team, I think most Cowboys fans who are from the greater Dallas area, they're sick of this crap.
They are.
They're tired of this.
He's all about money. And I think he wants to win, but I don't think he wants to win the way that some other owners want to win. Mm. He is one of the strongest brands in football. He's a billionaire. He continues to cash in on every opportunity. I'm not saying he's thrown in the towel, but when you say things like this, can you imagine Cal McNair or somebody else saying, well, I mean, as long as our names are in the headlines, it's fine. I mean, they'd get chopped up, but because
destroyed.
It's Jerry Jones,
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, it's Jerry. Like, no, if you want your team to win, you don't say things like this. And I tried to Google the quote before the show and I couldn't find it, but my friend Jane Slater, who covers the Cowboys for NFL Network, has said before that Jerry has a thing he says that's essentially, I don't care what you write as long as you get my name right in the headline.
Okay.
So this is a common quote mantra that he has. And if you're winning, that's great. But the Cowboys aren't winning.
No. No, they're not. And this is just attention that they get. But does that win championships? I suppose if ultimately the bottom line is all you care about, that this helps. But I don't know. I guess I don't really see it. They're constantly talked about on shows like the Speak for Your Pizza ones in the morning on ESPN and on Fox Sports. They're talked about by us. They're talked about by everybody a lot. Does that make the Dallas Cowboys specifically more money? Does someone want to buy a jersey of a team that's an absolute mess? I don't know. I get what he's saying. I don't necessarily disagree with it. But when you've been like this for 30 years, and there's not much to show other than scandals or books about a team that played 30 years ago and the scandals that they won with. Like, what is he right? I guess I I disagree with him, even though it's working.
I think if they're winning, it's great. I think if you're winning, then sure. Bad news, you can take bad news. That's great. Bring it on. Any press is good press, all of the cliches, but they're not. And not only that, two of his former quarterbacks are the top color commentators for networks. Troy Aikman, of course, is now ESPN. Tony Romo, CBS. They have no problem bashing the Cowboys.
No.
So you're at a point now to where you really don't have a lot of loyalty among your former players. Whatever. They say, oh, so proud to have played for the Cowboys. But they are not afraid to eviscerate you on air. You're not winning. So to me, at the end of the day, it comes across as very tone deaf, mm-hmm. very billionaire, and somebody that, you know, to have the accusations of fathering a child outside of wedlock when you're married, to have the accusations of having a creepy assistant and all of these things. Saying things like this, it's just super tone deaf to me.
Totally. And it's funny that it's being brought up in this week's edition of Football Morning in America, because that is the most recent story that the Cowboys have been involved in. No one's really talking about anything else involving the team. Dak Prescott signed his contract extension. I mean, what? Amari Cooper's gone. What are you pointing at right now, you know, as a interest point for the Dallas Cowboys outside of these off-the-field right. things that are actually bad for them? Cowboys fans are sick of it. So, yeah, I'm wondering how many teams even can successfully have drama and succeed on their respective fields, courts. I mean,
like the Chiefs, right? Like when Tyreek Hill or something like that happens, but they still don't brag about it. They're still not like, well, you know, Tyreek Hill, bad news, baby, bring it on.
No, that and he's gone too. And it's one of those things that's with him, like that is definitely something that creates ripples, but it's not creating waves necessarily either. I mean, I guess if we're talking
the Legion of Boom Seahawks were it was a lot of guys,
they
Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Michael Bennett, a lot of guys that are okay talking.
Percy Harvin punched, like, threw Golden Tate in a trash can during a Super Bowl. Like,
yes.
Like, they were on the same team, two Seahawks receivers, but that had a shelf life. I suppose, like, the one team that I feel like has dealt with negative attention and actually succeeded in the wake of it, it was the Patriots. It is the Astros, and it's like the only thing that I guess you can continue to succeed through is if you get accused of cheating and you continue to win, and then you just become the bad boys of the sport, and then you do become a talking point. But yeah, the Cowboys are more a conversational piece because they have struggled.
They're literally losing.
But they're not losing by a lot. Like they're just good enough to be relevant, and they're just bad enough to not be relevant to the point where they used to be.
And with the Astros, too. The Astros, yes, eventually leaned into the bad boy thing, but they were never braggadocious about, like, well, bad news is good news. Our name's in the headlines. Jerry's just a different animal.
It's weird that he's saying that now because they have been bad for so long. And I know real Cowboy fans, and they are, like, it's become a beaten-down fan base. It has. They are frustrated. They expect the worst in every single game. I remember watching it with them. Early on, they were like, oh, we're losing this one to San Francisco. And it was because just dumb mistakes. And if I'm not mistaken, they actually were in command of that game for a little bit of time. But they always expect the worst. And that's a byproduct of having all of this attention off the field.
The most entertaining part of that franchise, DCC making the team. Great show.
Who's DCC?
Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
Oh.
When the women are like, it's my eighth year trying out, but I know it's God's will for me to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
Being a cheerleader sucks.
Like, yeah, they don't get paid like $3 an hour.
Right.
But great show.
You get sexually harassed.
Yeah, all the good
woo-hoo.
Stuff. Meanwhile, Nick Saban is complaining again, speaking of somebody going from not winning to winning. He is not happy with the state of college football. Nick Saban saying everything in college football has always had parity. Parity meaning fairness, as Sean Professor Mafe said to explain to me, has always had parity, same scholarship, same academic support, healthcare, whatever it is. And I don't think we have that balance right now, which could affect the fairness of college football and college athletics as a whole. So I know we got a lot of good people working on it, and I'm sure they'll come up with a good solution.
You're trying
for
your own
it.
Voice, huh?
Thank you.
Yeah. That I mean, that just sounds like it's a Southern accent.
Okay, well, you sounded like Eric Cartman.
Fine.
So
that I added a little character yeah. to Jerry Jones.
So what do we think?
Me, Jerry Jones.
Do we even believe Nick Saban that he wants fairness? Because if there were actual fairness.
I actually do, in a way. I think he's bored. And I think he wants people to compete against him. He is right from this perspective. It is now becoming where it's just Alabama and everybody else. But I think there's a lot of people out there that who hate Alabama that are going to be like, oh, Nick Saban's full of it. I do think that he is right in that now these programs can take a good recruit away from any program, and it is even more the have and have nots. Now, he's crazy saying that there ever was parity in college football. That is a load of crap. There never has been parity in college football, ever, ever. It's like there are eight teams every year that have a chance.
Right.
And then there will be one team that maybe sneaks up at the end, and then they get
And if you're him, don't you just sit back and enjoy that?
I think he's bored. I really do. I mean, if they are on an unbelievable run. Even by Alabama standards, like there is, I would say, an ability for more programs to be good these days, and yet they are just an absolute machine, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon. Saban looks young for his age; he's in his 70s.
Look young.
He looks pretty good.
He's one of those guys that'll probably never retire. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you're going to hear from my interview with a Texans rookie. Talk a little NBA, but first, Paul Gallant is going to tell you about something special.
Very special.
Very special.
Look, guys, if you want to have serious wealth down the road, you're probably thinking about the different ways you can do it. Why not think about real estate? Because we look at houses all the time. They're skyrocketing prices across this city. I'm very lucky that I just got a condo. But if you want to invest in more real estate, you want to talk to my friends at the Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. It's a full-service real estate investment firm. And what they do is they take all of the crap that comes with investing in real estate out of your hands. They do it for you. And they give you a personalized plan to show you how they are going to make you money over years to come. They'll give you a 5-year plan. And guess what? Coming up May 21st, that's this weekend, you're going to have a chance to see the PIN process via a bus tour where they drive around and they'll show you some properties that you first started investing in and what they can look like a couple of years later and how you can turn that money into something that you can, I don't know, put towards a new house or put towards a college fund or something like that. The Passive Investor Network is fantastic. PassiveInvestor.net. If you want to go on that bus tour, promo code ESPN. I'm going to be on it. Promo code ESPN at PassiveInvestor.net.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is with me, Sean Mapes, as always. And as we look towards the Texan season, preseason will be here before we know it. Training camp. I'm excited for training camp.
Yeah, it'll be nice this time around to actually talk to players in person. Right. I know that one of the more frustrating things the last couple of years for anyone who's been covering these teams is you don't get to actually interact with any of the players. And training camp's always a great time where you can pull someone off to the side, talk to him, and now you've actually got some young players who you feel like are going to be here for a long period of time. No offense to some of the guys who have been here before, but I mean, the entire team outside of this last couple of rookie classes are all on 2-year contracts.
It was all 1-2-year deals.
Yeah.
I remember being like, I really like Mark Ingram. He's open at the podium. He's really accommodating. And then Mark Ingram was gone.
Right.
That was what the norm was. So it'll be fun to have some of these new guys. And like you said, there's some continuity just within the franchise in general, seeing them go with Davis Mills and what direction
it's a faceless team right now.
Right.
And I mean, that sucks.
Who's going to be on the tickets? Who's going to be on the program?
Stingley, definitely. I don't know that Kenyon Green's going to make the cut.
They love
as an offensive
some Brandon
lineman.
Cooks.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks is going to have to. Davis Mills is definitely going to be on it. After that, yeah, who knows?
I was able to chat with linebacker Christian Harris, who was drafted from Alabama, 75th overall in the third round by the Texans. He was really cool. I'm going to put that full video conversation up later, but I loved chatting with him. He had just gotten done with his first day of rookie minicamp, so I think his head was spinning a little bit anytime you start a job, even if it's in the NFL. But I did ask him about, I feel like every player gets this question that comes out of Alabama, and you could probably put Georgia in this category now too, of just like those programs being considered almost equivalent to NFL teams. Here's what Christian Harris said about playing for Bama.
I mean, I think definitely Alabama does a really good job, you know, developing athletes, myself and a lot of other players, mentally. I mean, obviously you have to be mentally tough to go through challenges, expect challenges to come your way. I mean, no path is easy. And I think it just that in itself, understanding that, especially going into a new program and somewhere here. And obviously, you know, they understand that too here. So, I mean, it just helps me, I mean, a lot to really want to be the best that I can.
Yeah. So you're talking about somebody that's played the highest level, and you always hear about the SEC guys, especially the Bama guys in general, on a week-to-week basis. And Nick Caserio had said this because they drafted so many SEC guys.
Right.
On a week-to-week basis, the entire roster that they're playing of the other team, it seems like, I mean, that's hyperbole, but they're going to the NFL.
Yeah, and this is now a team where if he can be at that Alabama level here, great. You know, you have to find a backbone defensively. And, you know, I wonder what kind of player Christian Harris is going to be, because when we've seen the Texans with middle linebackers in the past, it hasn't really worked out so well. D'Amico Ryans is the best middle linebacker in the team's franchise history. Brian Cushing was really good before he suffered his injuries, too. But then afterwards, okay, you got in Bernardrick McKinney. You gave him an extension for some reason.
It was a lucrative extension, by the way.
Yeah.
Was it because he was a captain?
I don't know.
It's so weird. I was always weirded out by that.
He got like one. So the NFL All-Pro voting is strange, where you can be a second-team All-Pro, but you only get one vote. Because Jadeveon Clowney was a second-team All-Pro.
That's right.
And McKinney was also a second-team All-Pro. All you need is one vote. So credit to him for getting that vote. Then afterwards, they had Zach Cunningham. And Zach Cunningham was super fast, but Zach Cunningham was also one of those guys who, I don't know, something was missing. They also gave him an extension. Didn't work out so well. So you look at just Christian Harris's size. You see a 6 foot tall, 226-pound linebacker who runs a 4.44 40. And you're wondering, is he going to be just a pain in the ass kind of player in coverage? Is he going to be sideline to sideline? Because, you know, that size screams he is not going to be one of these like run cloggers or anything like that. I'm curious to see what kind of player that he is, because he's been pretty good as a blitzer if you take a look at the statistics in college. But as a pass defender, what is that going to be something that he brings to the table that McKinney wasn't able to, that maybe Cunningham was lesser than in? It's a tough spot to be thrown into too. Again, I don't know who you're looking at on this defense,
right,
as someone to learn from either. You're kind of just being thrust in to the frying pan, I would imagine, right away.
Shameless plug for Lance Zierlein, who, of course, did in-depth analysis on every player. So whenever somebody was drafted, immediately I was able to see pros, cons, strengths, weaknesses, etc. Lovie Smith's a big name, and we talked about when they hired him how weird of a process it was, because remember, he wasn't in their top three, and then all of a sudden Brian Flores' lawsuit comes out and they hire Lovie Smith. But this is Lovie Smith's third coaching job. He is really well respected, and he's a defensive minded head coach. So I talked to Christian Harris about how excited he was to play for Lovie.
What have your conversations been like with Lovie, and what makes you feel like, okay, I'm going to fit in here really well?
I mean, honestly, the scheme that they have, I'm able to use my athleticism and, you know, hopefully, you know, just today, you know, moving around a little bit, just trying to get my understanding better with that. Things are going pretty well. And I mean, I love Lovie. He's a cool guy. Obviously, I mean, I haven't been here long. It's probably right, my second day. But yeah, obviously, I mean, we've been having a good couple conversations, but I'm sure we'll have more to come.
He's got to be thrilled just to have young pieces to work with. I think when you got certain players at a certain age, there's an expectation that, yeah, you could maybe get them to play in your system, but when you are bringing in somebody who is extremely impressionable, you know, in that first cut, you heard him, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, just this past cut, it's my first day here."
Right.
Someone like that is impressionable, and someone who has played for Nick Saban, of course, is going to take very well to coaching. When you have someone that is a young player like this, you can actually coach them to play the way that you want them to play, as opposed to them like becoming the best version of a player they want to be. When you have someone like Lovie Smith, yeah, okay, we'll see if he's able to get that guy, guide that guy down that path and get him to play like that. So it is curious to see what will happen. I think Lovie Smith does have a good demeanor. And
he does.
Isn't someone who is overtly confrontational as opposed to Bill O'Brien and some other coaches that we've seen. So
you could argue they're almost the opposite.
Yeah, so we'll see how all of this goes. I'm just glad that he finally has young pieces to work with. Long way of saying it.
Big Ozark fan, too. He and I talked about some shows, and I ended up accidentally spoiling Ozark for the Texans PR person that was in the room.
Oh, well, that's their fault.
Yeah. They haven't seen it yet. But shout out to Texans
just
PR.
Watch it all at once. Yeah. Come on.
Do what we all do. We just don't, you know, shower for a day and just sit and watch 6 hours of TV.
So seriously, I watch all of these shows so that no one can spoil them for me because someone told me that Han Solo died in The Force Awakens. So I will never, ever leave it to chance again.
I've never seen
a texter. What if you people did that to
I've
me?
Never seen Star Trek, but I should.
It's what?
All right. What?
Wow.
Okay. Coming. We're also.
Okay. I'm just going to move on from disparaging the greatest movie franchise of all time. Okay. Although it's not the greatest franchise anymore.
A little bit of NBA action tonight. Marcus Smart is questionable, so I ask our resident Celtics fan.
Well, you said it's the NBA. Are we sure? Is it not the ABA? I don't know. You're like confusing Star Wars and Star Trek. It's like two different leagues, like the XFL and the AFL.
I meant Star Wars.
Yeah, sure you did. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want to see tonight from Jason Tatum?
Murder.
It's great.
I want to see them murder the Miami Heat. Yeah.
Murder is mean.
I think it's going to be tough. You're just coming off of a series where you played arguably the toughest franchise in basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks, and now you're going up against one of the other toughest franchises in basketball, the Miami Heat. Very brutal physicality for a couple of series in a row. And, you know, Marcus Smart, he's not 100%. Robert Williams isn't playing. This is going to be tough. Miami does not back down from anybody. Heat culture is a real thing. So I'm wondering how the Celtics, after a very physical series that they played seven games, are going to handle a Miami team who played a bunch of softies in Philly.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we want your input on this. Antonio Brown says he wants to retire a Steeler. Who would you not let retire in Houston ever? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, happy Tuesday, guys. We're rolling along. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is with us. Sean Mapes is with us, as always. And we are Vanessa and Gallant. Antonio Brown always gets a lot of attention for the things he does on the field, like stripping, things he does off the field, like hooking up with a TikTok star who licks a toilet. And recently, tweeting, quote, "Just want to retire a Steeler."
Threw an ottoman off of a apartment balcony once.
He did.
And almost splattered a child.
Not good.
He was looking for a bag of $80,000 in cash that had gone missing. Yeah, he sucks. That's pretty funny to see that he wants to retire a Steeler. Because I'm pretty sure that he burnt every single bridge. I saw a very funny reply to that tweet that he put out there. Pittsburgh is the bridge city, and you burned every single one of them.
It's a great point. It's a great point.
And look, what's crazy is he's one of the greatest receivers in NFL history. I don't think you can deny that. If you ever watched the guy play, he was phenomenally talented, and it's a shame that he's a total idiot and a bad person because I loved watching him. I thought he was a tremendous player to watch physically play football, and that's how bad it was. That's how bad he made it, where they don't even want to bring him back in. Most Steelers fans are like, screw this guy. We're going home like they are Eric Cartman, like me. It's something else to see how quickly everyone has finally turned against him. And it took some time. I've been out on Antonio Brown for like 3 years. And I remember when the Patriots brought him in, I thought, oh, God. And then he was gone after essentially a week because he couldn't shut up.
If you can't make it work with Tom Brady... I mean, he lived with Tom Brady and Giselle, right? Tom Brady like took him under his wing and then he stripped on the field and left in the middle of a game.
That's the first time I've ever felt extremely judgmental of Tom Brady.
This was? Wow.
Yeah. What?
I'm just surprised that none of, you know, like the cheating that he did, the spying.
He didn't do any cheating.
inflating balls.
Leaving his pregnant girlfriend.
Leaving Bridget Moynihan while she was pregnant for Giselle.
I mean, we don't have that proven.
Nah, I mean, she was literally pregnant when they started dating and making public appearances together, but go off, King.
Well, I mean, who hasn't had a last-second hookup with someone that they're in the early stages of a relationship with? I don't know. I feel like a lot has been put on that situation that no one actually knows the facts of, so I don't know. This is not me caping for Brady. I just feel like he has been slandered for, like, he wasn't married to that person. He wasn't in a relationship with that person at that point in time.
Ladies, line up. Paul Gallant is single, and he will cheat on you.
Wow, that's what you're saying. Okay.
No, we joke. But, yeah, Antonio Brown lived with Tom Brady. My thought process.
I can't believe he let him in his house. Like, that guy's around your kids.
With his children.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Is it a really big house? Is one of the wings a jail?
He probably had one of his. He might have even had his own guest house. But if you can't make it work with Tom Brady, do you think that any other NFL team would even give him a shot?
No, he was talking trash to Brady after Brady's like standing up from like, I hope he gets the mental health that he needs.
Bad.
I'm trying to think of like where in the house Brady let him stay. Like, is it like with Harry Potter, the cupboard under the stairs?
I think pool house or some sort of.
Okay. Like a separate,
like different building. He a different AC unit.
And pool house meaning a pool house that's probably like bigger than most of the houses we grew up in.
Yes. I was just thinking something that size.
Right. All right. It is time for our garbage time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, so Elon Musk is supposed to buy Twitter, but that purchase is on hold. Mm-hmm. He wants proof from the platform that less than 5% of the accounts are bots. And until he gets that, he is not going to buy Twitter.
I'm tired of everyone talking about it. Either he does or he doesn't. But what's funny is, because we all live in the moment, there have been so many takes because he hasn't bought Twitter that are like dunking on Elon Musk. And then when news comes that he is actually getting closer to buying Twitter, the people that are standing for Elon Musk at the same time are like, yeah, go off, King. He's probably going to buy it. The app could use less bots. The app could be better in a lot of different ways. The app should probably let everybody stay on the app regardless of their political affiliation. And the app should probably be a little bit less one-sided when it comes to labeling things misinformation.
Right, or canceling people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, the canceling thing, it's going to always happen. I don't think that's just a Twitter thing. Like, people will say things online and people will be shamed for it. And you can argue that it's canceling. I think that the people that go out of their way to find things to dig up on people, that is over the line. And I suppose that itself is cancel culture. But I don't think Elon's not removing cancel culture from Twitter. Like, it's always going to be a thing.
What if he's just doing this? And I think it's likely he is just to drive the price down of like, listen, I'm not buying something
where probably
25% of the people don't exist.
Yeah, probably.
Well, it's been brought up, though. If you ever talk to somebody who's like a social media manager about the fact that there are so many bots now that it messes with engagement, it messes with the amount of money you can make off of social. And as Paul knows, all the kids are doing TikTok and Instagram now anyway. Isn't that right?
Yeah. You can buy followers on all of these things, too. It's ridiculous. The whole thing.
Do you not like the pricing of the buying the followers?
Wow. No, I would never do that. Every man has to have a code. That is a line I would never cross in
you
a million years.
You got to have a code. Are we quoting The Wire?
There is some, you know what? So
great show.
So when they told me at the old place that I had to get off the air, basically they said, like, before I got canned, they said, like, well, we're going to move you into a different, like, online role. And then they told me the person who they wanted me to copy, who is somebody who worked on, like, an FM station.
Yeah.
And I just thought he was a non-talent hack. And I'm like, wait a second. You want me to follow 50,000 people on Twitter so that I, too, can have 50,000 followers on Twitter? Do you want me to ask questions like, do you like tacos? And other just basic BS. I remember they told me that, and I was like, you want me to be this person
online?
It's when
online. You know a place is not a right fit for you.
Well, yeah, that's what they told me. I'm not a fit.
No, it's that they weren't a fit for you, Paul.
Thank you. I like that you spun it. God, that moment triggered me when they said, you need to be more like this person online. I'm like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Meanwhile, if there's one thing that we all want, it is a movie and a show about LeBron James's life. I mean, we've all just been asking for it for forever, and that is what NBC Universal and the LeBron James / Maverick Carter Spring Hill Company announced. It's called...
It's going to be no conflict.
It's called Shooting... It's an adaptation of the Shooting Stars book that James co-wrote. So they announced the person that's going to play LeBron James, and he is actually an
LeBron
Oregon...
James?
An Oregon commit, Marquise. He goes by Mookie Cook.
Oh, wow.
High-ranking basketball player, and he's going to play LeBron James.
I'll hate-watch it.
I will hate-watch it, too, but also, LeBron has, like, two children that could play him. That would actually look like
him. Do you think that would be good actors?
Probably not.
No.
But they weren't all in Space Jam together, weren't they?
No, that was... Because LeBron's going to have a nerd son? No. Right? I haven't seen the new Space Jam.
He had a different kid play his kid.
Right. And it was
wasn't his real kid?
And yeah, the kid's a nerd.
Michael Jordan actually had two kids play his Jeffrey and Marcus. Damn.
That's right.
Jordan. And one of them, their name was Eric Gordon. But he wasn't Eric Gordon.
Never forget Eric Gordon, Indiana high school basketball star, embarrassed Michael Jordan's child on national television.
Yeah.
That's about a 15-year-old story, but one of my favorites.
There actually is coming out soon a Giannis movie.
Really?
Yeah, all sports movies.
But that's
movies.
More interesting because he's an immigrant. He's had, you know
well,
what
yeah, because
I mean?
He was like selling DVDs on the streets of Athens.
He wasn't the greatest high school basketball prospect ever.
Right.
Underdog, 100 emojis.
I'm trying to think of what is going to be the conflict in this LeBron movie. Like, he's looking, trying to find his dad or something like that. Like, are they going to, because I think the only way that movie is good is if it's about he and his, the dad that he didn't. That wasn't in his life or something like that.
Dermot Mulroney is in it, and Dermot Mulroney is kind of hot, so I'll probably watch it.
Guy. The guy from Grey's Anatomy, right?
He's in Shameless, Grey's Anatomy.
Maybe not.
That's McSteamy.
Yeah, that guy. Anyway, Patrick Dempsey, my bad.
Yeah,
Dermot
Mulroney. Okay. There's a lot of tall, dark, and handsome men.
They're Irish.
What'd you say?
They're Irish.
Oh, Dermot Mulroney would be Irish, wouldn't he?
Sounds a little Irish. I don't know, though.
In just creepy news, MasterCard has launched tech that lets you pay with your face or your hand in stores. So on Tuesday, it looks like it might have been today. Retailers offer biometric payment methods like facial recognition and fingerprint scanning.
How insecure are you that you'd be willing to give these random companies all of your actual biometric information?
That's really creepy.
I don't get it.
Yes, because who is this for? People that are worried about their credit card being stolen. So you're giving your face and hand to a credit card company.
Here's what happens. If your credit card gets stolen, cancel it and cancel any payments. It's very simple.
I've had it happen before. I've had my identity stolen. It's not pleasant. I did in college. And I'm broke. I have nothing, guys. It's terrible, but I would rather do that than have somebody have my fingerprint, my face, my blood type, all of that.
Because then it seems like it would be readily accessible somewhere to be hacked, et cetera. Yeah,
MasterCard says it's perfectly safe.
No,
yeah,
you're on the right page here. That's nuts.
I don't think I did anything wrong, says the woman who jumped into the spider monkey enclosure at the El Paso Zoo. She just wanted to have a good time. Her name is Lucy Ray. She says that she didn't do anything wrong and she was just wanting to
other than jumping
fellowship
into the enclosure.
With the animals. Okay. I was shocked that it went viral, she says.
I don't get it. By the way, monkey's very overrated animal.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Favorite animal to see at a zoo?
Tiger.
There was a cute hippo.
Although I want to see the tiger out. I feel bad for the tigers at the zoo.
Yeah,
so.
Tigers, lions, and elephants. Top three.
There was a really famous hippo in Cincinnati named Fiona. Fiona the hippo. And then there was, of course, rest in peace to our king Harambe.
Oh, Harambe.
That was a sad one,
soon.
Too.
Harambe is the only non-overrated monkey. Yeah, that's it. The rest, awful. Chimpanzees, they'll murder you. Did you
yeah,
see the lady
will.
That was on Oprah who had her face ripped off by a chimpanzee? They're terrible.
I'm actually anti-zoo, but I'll go to them. I don't agree with them, but they're fun.
Have you watched Planet of the Apes? My point exactly. Get rid of them all.
All right. That's been another edition of Vanessa and Gallant. You got Joel Blank. You got Jeremy Branham and the Killer Bees up next from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
get no when the whistle goes.
Real fun. ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.